ownership and no claim of ownership by anybody who owned the lake, whether it was the original grantee under this 1912 deed or anything subsequent until just recently. And I have to ask the question, why? But let's just say one more thing, and then I'll shut up and take any questions. If it were in fact true that Empire or whoever owned that up to 715, why would they come to my client in 2004 and ask for a lease? This is a copy of the lease that they were trying to give the Moores at that particular time. This lease does more than just grant a right to have a dock or a platform. It essentially asks the landowners to give up any rights that they may have to the land below 715. If they already had it, why are they asking them to waive it in a lease? The Moores never signed this, never agreed with them about that, and it's been a contention ever since. So I just ask that you would direct the county clerk to, or the assessor, to correct the records to eliminate the reference to elevation 715 on the tax bill. We can address the fair assessment issue on that and the value for that at a later date. But really the sole issue here is whether this is the right description. Thank you much for your time.
Thank you. Schofield, do you know if the assessor was planning on coming to talk on his behalf?
I do not know.
Is there a provision in the process here that allows him to speak in this?
There is.
Okay. I mean, this should be announced to the public. This is a public hearing.
Yeah, under 137.270, the county commission of each county may hear and determine allegations of erroneous assessment. And basically gives the opportunity for all sides to be heard. Did you have something over there from the recorder's office?
Does it show, at what you're looking at, does it show a recording of the property by Empire Electric under the assessor's provision?
No, the deed that's recorded is showing the property is owned by Ms. Moore. The way I'm looking at it.
The
I think that was... I think that we all had the same opinion, but at the same time didn't think that we had any authority to do anything about it. And then at that time it was brought to our attorney that we did have the authority. I believe he looked at the statute, and it's kind of one that was off in a different area that spoke specifically to this, and that would be that 137.270. So when that was brought to our attention, it kind of...
And it's my understanding, and I will make the motion, to have the county clerk and the assessor make the correction back to the original 19 and 12 or 19 and 19 quick claim deed that was presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
The way that I understand the process at this point is that the commission has made a decision, and the other options that Mrs. Moore has or the assessor has is they have been to the state tax commission, and everything else would be go through a legal process to make any correction. I see Sheila shaking her head. No, this is a public hearing.
The county clerk or the assessor cannot touch the collector's tax book at this time. It is appeal number 16-89-503 of the state tax commission. Unless it's withdrawn, I have to take that order from the state tax commission. The book is sealed, and I can't do anything until I receive the order from the state tax commission.
That
the county, when it went to Board of Equalization this summer and it came out of there, then it was filed with the state tax commission and received this appeal number. So it is froze until I receive an order. That's like a court order from the state tax commission, as long as it's in that appeal.
What we're saying,
the commission's authority was this summons at the DOE.
What we're saying, Sheila, is that we have done our due process in making the order of the county commission to the clerk and the assessor to clean up this issue and to allow Mrs. Moore to have her property back. All other things that are indicated throughout this process is left to someone else. We have done our due process.
It could have been done at DOE this summer once it's in the state tax commission's hand.
We were not aware of it.
We tried to take care of it before we even got to DOE, but that's a whole other issue.
Okay. Right now, the only thing that I can think is an order from the state tax commission.
And I think, is it Mr. Coughlin, is that right?
Yes.
I think he's aware of that. I think that's why he stated what he stated as far as further, going on further with what needed to be done to correct the situation.
Unless they want to withdraw that.
Again, that's her attorney. He would be the one to make that decision with Ms. Moore.
We have an appeal with the State Tax Commission hearing is set for the 17th, but they don't deal with prescriptions.
Right.
Only you guys.
Only valuation.
They only deal with assessed values. So, if in fact the assessed value stands by the State Tax Commission, I think the statute gives the commission, even though there's an appeal, the right under 137.260 to direct the clerk of the court to correct a tax book that's already been certified and then recertify it, despite what the collector just said. That's my understanding of the statute.
And even at that, we have done our due process by asking that the...
Well, we didn't ask. We directed. I believe your motion was direct to...
Yes. I mean, as the statute reads, we have directed them to make the correction.
That's correct.
How does Mr. Cotty view that? Commission's attorney. When it goes to 139031.
Sheila, I'm not prepared to answer. I haven't looked at the question you've raised. I do understand what they're saying, which is that proceeding under the particular statute that the presiding commissioner read, and then the follow-up Mr. Coughlin talked about, which apparently empowers them to direct only the clerk. It doesn't address the collector's responsibilities or duties at all. But your specific question about the procedures to be followed and how proceedings at the state tax commission mesh with what we're doing here today, I don't know the answer. It's a good question, but I don't know the answer. And I think that's what Mr. Coughlin was talking about. That would be for him to figure out.
And the state only rules on assessed valuation.
I think that part is true. That is heavily different. I think that
maybe the appraised value and assessed valuation.
I think that what we're addressing here today was a question of an erroneous description of property as referenced in a particular statute that presiding Commissioner Schofield read. And I think that's different than what the State Tax Commission addresses. That's just my rough opinion. While I'm on my feet, may I address a different point?
You want to come up to the mic or?
No,
he doesn't want to, but he will.
Yeah, since I'm on my feet. Just to avoid any confusion later on, the motion, as I understood it, referenced both the description in the 1912 deed and the 1919 deed, and I'm not sure that those are the same thing, and so I just asked Mr. Coughlin to clarify what it is he feels the correct description is that should be ordered by you all today.
And as I understood Commissioner Strahan's latter comment was that he's directing the clerk to change the description back to what it was before the change of the assessment, which the difference between the 1912 deed and the 1919, the 1919 description was the plat as it was originally, all of it, not subject to whatever the other deal is. So I think that's consistent with his original motion, unless you wanted to modify that to say change it back to what it was before the last change, maybe under the description for 2015 or something.
I want to leave it exactly the way I stated it to start off with, because it orders the clerk and the assessor to do their job in the research and to correct it to those dates. And I got a second on it and a vote on it, so.
I believe the intent was to make it go back to what was originally done.
Right.
Does that clarify it for you, Mr. Cotty?
Thank you, pardon.
Does it clarify enough for you what the intent of the motion was?
Well, I understand the intent. I think it's exactly what you all said. I'm concerned about the language in the motion being ambiguous and therefore subject to maybe an interpretation different than what you three seem to be talking about.
Danny, would you like to amend your motion?
I'm not going to amend my motion because I don't understand exactly what the exact motion would be. Anything above the 1919 to present day is what I'm trying to correct. My intent is to put the property back in the hands of the person that has paid the taxes on this piece of property since ownership. And that's my intent through the motion. If there's a secondary motion that you want to make on this issue and explain it in a different manner, that's fine. But my motion is to place this back into Mrs. Moore's ownership in the correct manner.